Nick, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. Welcome to this soggy Friday afternoon. We're here talking about Cineworld with all sorts of wonderful stuff. Now, Cineworld, if people don't know, is my second home. I tend to be there most of the time with my son watching all the biggest blockbusters. And it's great that you're actually in here because this is one of the first times you've actually been in these studios, isn't it?
Absolutely lovely. It's great to see behind the scenes, obviously from the cinema. It's a similar kind of experience where you see that big screen and seeing kind of what happens behind. It's amazing. So, yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Brilliant. Well, you're a very, very busy man as well. So just to explain to us really, let's just have a little bit of a back synopsis about the whole place. Cineworld was built when was it?
2019. So we opened in December. COVID hit and we were shut down. But again, for me, cinema has come back with a new lease of life. So we've gone through that period where, again, there perhaps wasn't any releases. But again, we're a new cinema to everything. We've got all the bells and whistles. And the big thing for Cineworld is kind of the IMAX, the VOP, the ScreenX and all of those bits. And what we're trying to do working with the community stadium, Hollywood Bowl, etc., is kind of bring a new experience to the whole of York and get people to enjoy what we have.
Tell us more about IMAX. What can we expect with this humongous screen in front of you?
It's not just the actual picture. So the screen is one of the biggest in the UK. You've got this giant, giant auditorium where you've got seating kind of for everywhere. But it's that extravagance in terms of that piece where you can see every little piece of the scene, the sound. You really, really get the full impression of what the directors really want from it. So from soundtracks to, again, the pin dropping, literally everything.
You feel the sound, don't you, within your chairs?
Yeah.
It's just a great feeling, it really is.
Yeah, it just makes it a fully immersive experience. And for me, it's what you want to watch it in. And again, June, which we've got coming out now, absolutely amazing. The sound and the soundtrack behind it, the director has just hit everything. The visuals of kind of the sci-fi epics, you just get everything in that screen.
ScreenX, what's this about? So you've got not just one, two, you've got three screens? Well, explain to us more.
Brilliant concept, to be honest, and something that, again, we've brought to the UK. So you've got your main screen ahead of you like you have in any cinema, but what you've got as well is you've got wings as well, so you've got screens on the left and right. And what it does is it wraps around the image. So for core scenes, you've got, say, for example, something like Aquaman. You're underwater, you're seeing the scene, he's in a big fight. What'll happen is the wings will come on and you'll be underwater with him. You'll have sharks swimming next to you. Literally, you'll be part of the action. And that for me is a whole new immersive experience. And again, it targets a different kind of viewing experience. So you've got the IMAX where it's the big bold and it is the best screen forever. But for the ScreenX, it gives you that different experience in there. Best film I've ever seen in ScreenX, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Really?
Absolutely. The Wembley scene. So music is your kind of forte there. And for me, what you see is you've got Freddie and, again, the Queen on the stage. And what you do is it wraps around and brings out all of the people in the audience. So actually, you see a guy on your right chewing some gum. On the left, there's someone literally throwing a beach ball.
You say throwing up then?
Well, no, thank God no, because I think we might have had a problem there. Do you know what? For me, it's seeing more of it and doing that. I think it's great for us to be able to try different technologies like this and see what audiences want to try.
And you have VIP, which is, in my humble opinion, the ultimate man cave. Because you've got these luxurious lazy boy chairs, you've got unlimited nachos and popcorn and soft drinks, but of course, to kick it all off, you've got around about 45 minutes or so for this sumptuous buffet, which changes every month.
Yes indeed. We have a whole set of teams that come up with a new menu. VOP is a unique concept. There's only five of them in the UK, and York was designed specially with York in mind. All of the special lounge you've got to start off is designed with us in mind. So there's imagery from local artists. So there's the York Minster all around. You've got images of Coppergate and different places that just make it that special event. So you come in 45 minutes before your film, and in essence, you eat whatever you'd like on there. So have as much pizza, pasta, or whatever the kind of guys are cooking up for that month. Benefit is you'll eat all of that nice food to start with. get yourself ready. And then we've got unlimited snacks afterwards. So you're literally as many hot dogs, nachos and whatever else you want. And my personal favourite is the ice cream machine in the corner.
Yes.
So, Hidden gem. Honestly, that's the one thing that I always make sure to take in with me. But I just think that it's a lovely thing to have added when you've got kind of restaurants nearby, you've got movies as well. Combine the two, it really, really works. And like you say, the seating in the screens is excellent. So
you've got
the recliners that bring your legs up. You've got lap trays and everything. And again, take in all the hot dogs, nachos you want.
Nick, we're going to talk movies in a couple of seconds' time. Stick with us. It's Y1 Radio.
This is Y1 Radio.
So tell us about the movies then. This is what we're all here for. Current films, the ones to watch right now. You mentioned Dune 2 a few moments ago. Tell us, what's this all about?
Dune 2, yeah, it has to be the one I have to talk about today. So released actually today on the 1st, I got the opportunity to watch it this morning actually to make sure I knew exactly what was going on.
You know, so, just made it.
Absolutely. It just finished before, but no, they're absolutely amazing. So Dune is based upon a set of books, obviously, and it was made into a set of films in the 80s as well, actually. Patrick Stewart, back when he had hair, was in the original ones. But no, do you know what? Absolutely amazing. So sci-fi story, out in the world, futuristic, etc. The director gets this so right, and in the IMAX, absolutely amazing. So the first film came out in 2021 and was a huge hit back then, relaunching cinema to the audiences after obviously a few tough years. Absolutely brilliant. IMDb, it's ranked 8 again, really up there. Now, this one takes the story on the next stage, and for me, the visuals are even better. Wow. So, yeah, genuinely, he's riding one of the giant worms in a few of the scenes.
Gosh.
And you are literally in there with the sound. You hear the noises. It's amazing. So it takes on the stall of Paul Atreides and takes him further into the world of Arrakis and kind of what's going on. Now, I don't want to give too much away because everyone's going to be watching it. But yeah, it does not let you down. Now, initial reviews are becoming even higher than the first.
It's almost like The Godfather Part 2, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you can always get a hit and miss. Now, this one for me, and again, I get to see a lot of films being a general manager at Cineworld. I personally think this is one of those films that everyone needs to go and see because it appeals to a wide range, but actually it's that big epic we've all been crying out for a long time. And genuinely in that IMAX, you are part of that scene. You've got scenes in space. You've got battles with worms in the desert. Just absolutely amazing.
It's even got Elvis in it.
Do you know what?
Everyone's been trying to work it out. Who is he? Who is he, the one that's licking the knife?
Genuinely. And you know what? I probably should have known beforehand that it was Austin Butler because I absolutely love that film. And then I watched it and was like, oh yeah, absolutely. Very different though. I mean, in this one, he's obviously bald in this one. So he's not got the lovely locks from Elvis. But do you know what? His performance in it was brilliant, actually. I must say, you got Timothée Chalamet, who I think draws in a wide range of people. But yeah, do you know what? Every single person in that, Josh Brolin, Rebecca Ferguson, all doing amazing. And again, it just brings it together. I hope they do more, to be honest, because for me, I would want to, having watched that, learn more about the story, the characters, and how they move forward. But an absolutely brilliant story.
Okay, ones to watch on the way for you soon. Stick around.
Y01 Radio.
Okay, we've already mentioned Dune 2. Let's talk about the ones to watch at the moment. Any more that we can get our teeth into?
Absolutely. So I choose a bit of a kid's option at the moment. So Migration. So
yeah, why not?
Absolutely. Do you know what? It's from the studio that did Despicable Me. I watched it with my two little ones. So I've got a little girl and a little boy, 5 and 2. So a bit of a age difference there in terms of what they're looking at. For me, the key factor in this one, how good it was it kept my two-year-old sat down for the entire film, which is the first time that William has ever sat down for a film.
That's
now,
good.
He loved it. So it's from, like I say, the Despicable Me creators, and it's based upon a family of ducks. They want to leave their pond, go on an adventure. The voice cast is amazing, and just the hilarity of it. You take it through from them being in the pond, a bit nervous, and the dad not wanting to go out and explore, to the kids pushing and flying out. They meet so many different characters. It's colourful, it's funny, and like this Despicable Me and all the kind of stuff that they do, it appeals to adults as well. There's a lot in there that you're going to find funny, as well as the little ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, I think if you're looking for something to bring the kids along to, that's a really good option. So what we tend to find is people will might be come along, split into two, a couple will watch Dune, someone will go across to watch that Migration. But it's a really good secondary option, and I absolutely loved it from start to finish.
Anything coming up let's face it, we're a month away from Easter or so.
So Easter is looking big. Kicking off Ghostbusters on the 22nd, so obviously Yorkshire's school holidays kick off right with that. So I'm a huge fan of the original Ghostbusters.
Same here.
The 80s stuff. Now, they've tried a few reboots over the years, and for me, this set, the one they did Afterlife in 21, really kicked into gear. Paul Rudd, his comedy genius kind of added to the original set.
Yeah.
Now, they're all back. So the original cast's all in it, obviously, with the exception of one in there. Yes, yeah, sad news, that one. But they're all back. They're all kind of in a new adventure, bringing that whole cast from Afterlife back. And this one's called Frozen Empire. And the initial kind of feedback and the scenes and all the stuff you can see kind of online at the moment, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And for me, that's going to kick off Half-Term really well. So everyone's going to be coming along wanting to see that.
Sounds good. Other big films as well include Godzilla and Kong. Now, this is not versus Kong. This is and Kong, is it? Or times Kong. How are they doing?
Kong. So Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. In the last installment of the franchise, because they've really, really done well to reintroduce this, Apple have got their own series in the Monsterverse, as they call it.
Kurt Russell, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And do you know what? I love it. I've been blown away by kind of how they've brought these beloved characters back to life. And the last kind of installment, Kong Godzilla had that, what everyone wanted, a big dust-up, a big fight. You knew that potentially no one was going to win or lose because they're your big tentpoles. Together, on this one, though, they're coming together to fight some new titans that have appeared in the ethos. And there's a bit of a find out that they've already released it in the trailers that they're not alone. Kong's not the last of his species. Mm. So that's the big reveal that we kind of got in there, that he was always sad, obviously, in Skull Island. But he's genuinely kind of looking for that. Teams up with Godzilla. It looks amazing. And for me, that's going to be another one to see on the big, big screen. See all those big monster fights.
And the fourth of the franchise of Kung Fu Panda.
Do you know what? Out of all of them, I actually love Kung Fu Panda. And
so do I. Yet again.
I'm looking forward to all of them. But I think this is the one that I know I'll end up going to first because of the children. I love the fact that Jack Black's character in there, Po, who everyone remembers, is back. I think we weren't sure if there was going to be another one. This one, for me, is the right timing, right cast, and do you know what? It appeals to a wide range of audience, parents, kids, everything. So he's back with all his crew, new villain, Chameleon, and she's a sorceress, and she's bringing back all of Po's previous adversaries.
Nice.
So she channels, again, like a chameleon, all of his kind of enemies from before, and it's how he adapts. Now, the voice casting in this one, you've got Akin Penworth kind of coming through, Akfina, sorry. Yeah, creating new people. but yeah, she's adding to that cast, and for me, I think all of the kind of preamble to it, everyone's loving what they're seeing from it. It's just going to appeal to such a wide audience again.
So will. Right, back for the final time with Nick in a couple of seconds' time, talking about movie extras.
Your local station. Y01 Radio.
Cinema's not just cinema at Cineworld. It's all about the theatre as well. Theatre in the cinema?
So what we've got is, so cinema's been looking at ways of kind of diversifying. For me, it's appealing to a wide range of audiences. So we've got national theatre performances streamed live from different countries. We've done them from Sydney Harbour. We've done them from the West End, Broadway. And the big things that we've been doing over the last few years have been in actual concerts. So streaming live things from Coldplay. Yep. We've done kind of a few of theirs. We've done Beyonce tours. Taylor Swift was a,
that was a huge one, wasn't it? Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, we got some merchandise for those. A big shout out to my retail team for getting hold of them, and they flew out within day one.
I bet.
So yeah, no. Do you know what? It's great for us to be able to offer this range of product to people, so they can come in and again, you might not be able to get to say the West End or London and see all of these great things, but to be able to sit in the comfort of one of our screens and experience that, absolutely breathtaking.
Sounds awesome, really does, especially when you talk about Screen X and you're surrounded by that.
Yeah.
That's a great experience. And also, we've got the Oscar season upon us.
Yes, absolutely. So a bit later than normal, I think, this year. So 10th of March is when the Oscars are coming on this time. So we're a week away. Cineworld's doing a run, actually. So prior to it coming out, we're actually going to play all the Oscar nominees coming across. So tomorrow, we've actually got a Barbenheimer
run. So, yeah. Fantastic. She's back.
She is. You've got Barbie at 4:30, I think, and then followed by Oppenheimer, which will be amazing. For me, I think it's great to be opportunity to show them. So, again, you've got Oppenheimer, for me, is going to be the big winner there. Yeah, and yeah. I think everyone's getting that impression. But again, there's things like Poor Things. Emma Stone's getting a lot of traction, so we'll see kind of how that kind of runs. We've also got Killers of the Flower Moon. So again, that's a Scorsese film, so it will appeal to a very, very wide range in terms of that and the cinematography there.
It gives you a chance to sample the ones that you may have missed as well.
Absolutely, and this is the thing. There's a lot of times where you may have just not seen it for that period of time, and it's a great opportunity to get back and see something that, again, everyone's talked about. It's it's great to see the Oppenheimers again. I doubt many people have missed that, but if you have, you've heard how good it is, you're coming back in and seeing it. Great to see that one. For me, some of these runs at Cineworld may have been a bit shorter, so like Poor Things, Zone of Interest, American Fiction. Great to have those on board, working again with our Picture House teams as well.
Sounds great. Nick, thank you so much indeed for coming in today and talking to us all about Cineworld. We wish you the very best of luck with it. And until next month, thank you so much indeed.
Thank you very much.